And the countdown begins. 5, 4, 3, 2. Pew!
You're pacing too fast. You're off.
Welcome to Flooring with Famous. You're all Fresno podcast with me always. Me being Joshua Teehee, a.k.a. Famous Whitewater. And with me always is
still
Mike.
Holding on to that.
I will till the day I die or this podcast stops being recorded. Mike C. of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts, which includes, I don't know, Dorktown Perfect Pour and Get Off My Podcast.
Get Off My Podcast.
Which is a Harrison Ford podcast.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we do Flowing with Famous, which is where we talk about all things Fresno, pop culture, politics.
Yay.
Food, drink, religion.
And we live it because it's hot in the studio.
Oh,
it's living
the warm.
Fresno.
Yeah. This is, there's a weird thing that's been happening this summer.
Uh-oh.
Forever, Fresno, it's been a dry heat.
Yep.
Right? That's what they say. It's 1,000 degrees, but it's dry heat.
Yep.
Not this year.
Been a little smug.
This year it's
there's been
a little,
some mug.
Yeah.
I think it's the climate change.
Yeah.
We're getting, because in Phoenix, I lived in Phoenix, and this is like monsoon season.
Oh, okay.
And you get, so you'll get that, you'll get moisture come through town and rain.
Right.
And even though it's 100 something, they'll still do that. It feels like we're going to start getting a little of that.
Well, there you go.
I don't know.
I don't mind.
No.
I like it. I like to sweat.
The count, well, I don't like humidity.
Yeah.
But it's still nothing compared to East Coast or Midwest.
Right,
humidity.
There you go. Yeah. We will never be right. Arkansas.
There we go. We led with weather.
Yeah. Man.
It's going to be good.
So we there are some Fresno things to talk about, though.
I mean, we've had apologize for missing. I screwed up the last episode.
There was a good podcast.
A good fill-in.
That you put up there instead, yeah.
Yeah. The old Josh at the Blake's Rogue Show talking some old Fresno music scene and... Even Josh was the new guy on the panel.
Right, on that panel, yeah, which was odd.
You're like, wait, in every other panel, I'm the old guy, but this one, I'm the new guy. So check out that last episode if you want to hear about the music history, some music history in Fresno.
And none better than to bring it to you than Blake Jones, who's been playing in town for a really long time and, you know, was able to bring in some big guns
episode
to talk
33
about
has it.
That stuff. So... But what do you want to talk about?
We missed, technically we didn't miss, but no one else heard.
Right.
We were talking about the Fresno County supervisors voting. Now they changed their minds against high-speed rail.
Yeah.
And so does this really mean anything other than maybe it does hurt chances for getting the maintenance yard in Fresno?
I think that's the big thing that people are worried about, you know, because Fresno, well, the city and also the county and the supervisors have been behind high-speed rail kind of from the beginning, and they were really, really pushing this. And the idea was we wanted that maintenance yard and all the jobs and all the big, you know, things that would come with it.
We'd be the testing ground for high-speed rail in the country, basically.
Right. I mean, it really would, I think, be transformational for the area to have something like that. Here. And the worry now is that, you know, if our county supervisors are essentially saying the high-speed rail won't work or the way you're doing it is wrong or whatever, that the high-speed rail authority will say, well, okay, fine. We'll
find somebody that wants to.
Yeah, we'd rather be someplace. We know where we're not wanted, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be devastating. I mean, there are a lot of jobs that are going to come with that, and there are... you know, a lot of good things that would come from having that maintenance yard. So I think it was a mistake. I think that it really was like you could tell that it was one of those things where the supervisors are looking to the next election and thinking, oh, man, I don't want to be tied with this because...
I've got a conservative base.
Right.
And they're whoever runs against me is going to be like, you
pull
voted
that out.
Yes
you,
for high-speed rail.
The boondoggle.
It's a boondoggle!
It just gets me so frustrated because, A, it's happening. I mean, There are machines. They have cleared buildings.
Yes, buildings are being cleared.
You know,
in Madera County land. I drove by it yesterday, and there's machinery happening. Yeah. There's land being moved around. It's happening.
Right. So it's happening. And B, we want it to happen. I mean, we want it to happen. We have the 4199 and the I-5, and they are all shitty.
Yeah.
And eventually, we're not going to be able to traverse those roads in any kind of like nice
orderly fashion. Yeah.
And also, cars are not a sustainable means of long-term transportation, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, the highways were built for a reason, and that was to when big rigs took commerce across, you know?
Right.
The highways were not built for us to, you know, lollygag around from Madera to right. whatever. So, I think we need to really start thinking about this, and it's sad that the county supervisors aren't as forward-thinking as some of their constituents. So
hopefully,
there it is.
Hopefully, high-speed rail people will see past the supervisors.
Yeah, and I mean,
and just
there really are. There are still some supervisors. It wasn't a unanimous vote.
Right.
You know?
It was like so there, it was 5-3.
Yeah,
or,
I think. Yeah,
or it was 4-3.
And
four
so
to three, maybe.
I think there are still supervisors that are, you know, eager to see this happening. I think the city is still, you know, behind it and pushing
Mayor,
for
Mayor
it.
Yeah, Mayor Swear is still all about it. So as long as she's still there, she's going to be fighting to get,
you know, so yeah, I mean, I think, and from what I have read, you know, the High Speed Rail Authority says that, that it's not really a factor, you know, that's going to go into it, but
he did one of these. Oh, Fresno County voted, supervisors voted no. Oh, no.
But it is, I mean, it is kind of a big thing that, you know, they reversed their position.
Yeah.
Being that they were so pro for so long. And so, I don't know. It's just unfortunate. There. I said it.
Boom.
Is it election season? I can't ever tell anymore.
I don't know.
I
mean,
think it's always
there's
election season.
In November, but I don't know what if there's any supervisors.
Should we just continue to talk about politics, election news? Because there was another big sort of...
Oh, yeah. Governor.
There's that, too. Okay. I was talking about Measure W, the water rate increase that was happening. It wasn't actually... Measure W was what they were trying to put on the ballot, which would essentially... ask Fresno, citizens of Fresno, I guess, to recall, I don't know, to stop the water rate hike that's happening within the city. So the city, Fresno needs infrastructure for water infrastructure because we haven't done it for 60 years because, you know, that's how we do things. It's like, we'll worry about this later.
Worry about next election season.
So
when
you
I'm
know,
out of office, you guys can worry about it.
60 years pass, or 30 years, or however many years it's been, and now it has to happen. And the city said, "Hey, we'll sell some bonds to raise the money to make this happen." And as part of that, we're going to have to raise your water rates, and they wanted to raise them by half or something. I don't know, whatever. They wanted to double them, I think. You know, so then someone came in and said, well, this is not going to happen. They got a bunch of signatures. They said, you know, we're going to put this on the ballot for a vote. So then the city council came and voted to sort of rescind the water rate hikes and go back to the drawing board. And I think the reason they did it is because they didn't want to see it go to the ballot. They didn't want it to have to vote on it, you know, which I think makes sense. And so it'll probably end up being something where we'll still have rate hikes that just won't be so steep so quickly and all that stuff, which is good, I guess. I don't know.
Well, yeah, as long as it's going to pay for infrastructure.
Right.
Then
I think it's another thing where, like, you know, at a certain point, we just have to go, like, we just have to suck it up.
And have to do it.
And take the hit because we didn't pay attention for such a long time that here it is now in our face. And so we can't, keep ignoring
somebody's
it, you know?
Got it. Somebody's got it. Right. And you can't just be like, oh, well, find another way to pay for it. Right. There is no other way to pay for it. It's like, this is how it has to happen. There's no money sitting around to pay for it.
And I understand where, you know, somebody. Some of the council is coming from because, you know, they say that their constituents, that a double... doubling their rate, could...
That's pretty bad.
could really hurt some people. And so, you know, yeah, okay, that makes sense. So we'll see what happens. I think they'll be going back to the drawing board and coming up with something. But hopefully, you know, we'll be able to get that infrastructure going and make it work again. So that's on the city level. Now, you wanted to also talk about the guy running for governor. What do you call that?
He's not governor.
So
elect,
Neil Kashkari.
Kashkari.
And it's Neil with two E's.
That's confusing.
Yeah,
you gotta change that, Neil.
Kashkari. He's running for governor, and he. It doesn't look like he's going to beat Jerry.
I mean, yeah.
And
what are you going to do? Jerry Brown.
He's way down.
Jerry Brown got California shit together. Yeah, yeah. Like, how can you?
And Jerry Brown has a bunch of money and Neil Kashkari, even though
started with a huge debt, and now California has a bunch of money.
So anyway, Neil Kashkari is running for governor, and his tactic is sort of an interesting one, where essentially he's just going all sorts of crazy publicity. Mm-hmm. Like he actually was a fill-in guest host for Chris Daniel.
Oh yeah, we talked about that
on KMJ.
That was one of the things. That,
right?
That are you still? Side note: are you still in the KMJ band?
I have gone back to listening.
Oh, I knew you'd go back.
I know. I switch it off fairly often. I haven't done it to Chris for a while, so kudos to him. Ray still irks me sometimes, but we do what we can. So anyway, Neil Kashkari, publicity stunts. This is his thing. And so he spent a week in Fresno, being homeless.
Yeah, allegedly.
He showed up, he came to Fresno on a bus, on a Greyhound, with
right
$40.
$40.
Oh, and then he just spent a week just chilling out and looking for... Looking for work. And, put together this video that was supposedly talking about how, I don't know, I didn't watch the video.
Him looking for a job and him like...
Right.
All
right,
he's just basically saying, I thought, hey, Jerry Brown says California's
you're
all recovered.
Doesn't look like
it's doing too great here in Fresno when you're homeless. Like, well, guess what? It's pretty crappy everywhere where you're homeless.
Right. There was some fallback from this. You know, there were a lot of people who were like, you know, why pick Fresno as the place,
exactly.
You know?
Didn't pick L.A.,
and I don't know why.
You?
I don't know why he picked probably the weather. He's like, the weather. And, you know, it's probably not as bad as other places, maybe. I really don't know. But what a dick move. I mean, to me, it really is like a dick move to come. Like, this guy obviously has money. He obviously doesn't. He is very, very, very far removed from ever having to be homeless. Mm-hmm. So to show up and be like, I lived as a homeless person for a week. You didn't live as a homeless person, because at any point in time, you could have called someone and had them come and pick you up.
You went camping. You went city camping
you
for
were
a week.
A tourist.
Yeah.
In a homeless camp.
Rather,
for a week.
Instead of camping in the woods, you went camping in Fresno.
Right.
Which maybe that's now a thing. You can go city camping.
Now.
He started a thing.
That is a tourist destination.
Yeah. Where'd you go camping this weekend, Fresno? What do you mean, Fresno?
We went camping in the homeless. I don't know. I mean, maybe his heart's in the right... right place. Although I think his heart was in like getting publicity, right. which he did because you know this was picked up.
Was
you know.
It picked up statewide? I obviously all of
it was picked up statewide.
Picked
yeah,
up,
I think but. It was picked up statewide, and I think it even made some of the national news as well. But blogs and things. But you know, so. Mm-hmm.
He's like, I couldn't get hired as a job. Right.
Well, and so,
looks
yeah.
Looks like the economy's crappy here.
Here's the other thing. I think he went looking for a job like this. Like, he would just go in someplace and be like, hey, are you hiring? I'd like to work for minimum wage. What do you got?
What do you got what for you me got to do? For me? I'll do anything.
That's not, that's not how it works, you know? And I mean, it probably, there is some good takeaways from it, you know? One would be, yeah, if you're homeless, it probably is hard to find a job.
No matter how good
because,
the economy is, it's
you know,
be,
you don't have a place to like get clean, put together a resume, like all the things that you need.
You gotta
so,
have a phone number and a resume at least.
All those kind of things. So I, you know,
and I know that
I understand.
I know
that,
there's been programs downtown that have like provided that, you know, given people. Opportunity in the past, I don't know what's going on right now, but to give somebody that's homeless, to give them like, here's an address, here's a phone number, here's something you can start from. So I don't know if that's still happening right now.
Right.
But.
So, I mean, there probably is some good that could come of it. I just, to me, it seems really exploitative. You know, it seems like here are some people that have a real problem, and you like inserting yourself into it and acting as if like you at all understand what their problem is.
Yeah,
seems a little like get out of here. Mm-hmm. You know. So, although I have to, you know, I doubt Jerry Brown would ever be homeless for a week. So. You got to give it to him just for having like the creativity to be like,
empathy now towards a homeless person.
And, you know, I mean, I guess, yeah, that's kind of cool that he's just like, I kind of actually do, thinking about it now, like a guy who's like, yeah, I'll go be homeless for a week. I don't care, whatever. Yeah.
You know? What else do I have anything to do? I'm just running for governor.
I'm just running for governor. That's a guy who can get some stuff done.
Yeah.
He'll be like, oh, well, you guys want a filibuster here? Fine. I was homeless for a week.
I got all kinds of time.
I'll do whatever.
I can do this.
Right
I was homeless in Fresno. I can stand here and filibuster.
So anyway, so we were, Fresno was kind of famous there for a bit with, for our
if Jay Leno homeless. Was still on the air, he would have made several jokes, I'm sure. I don't know if, I don't know if anyone else did, but.
No. I doubt.
No one even bothered with it.
All right. What else?
How about...
You have the master list is why I'm asking.
How about we get to the artist
of the episode. All right.
This one's a little surprising, Josh. I don't know if this hurts our street cred or not.
I don't think it does because I think he is. This is a worthy... it's worthy of talking about. It's worthy of hearing. So this is Ryan Beatty. Let's play a clip.
When we're all alone, your cat is always changed. She never acts the same with me, chameleon. It's like you disappear. Someone else like here with me, chameleon. I look into your eyes and I don't recognize the one who's sleep with me when nobody's around. Chameleon. Start acting differently. It's impossible to figure out what you're in this for, what you want from me. Your cat is always changed. She never acts the same with me, chameleon. It's like you disappear. There's someone else right here with me, chameleon. Look into your eyes, and I don't recognize the one to sleep with me when nobody's around.
Okay. So Ryan Beatty gets a laugh. And I think he gets a laugh because when he first started, you know, there was this sort of stigma that media, local media, attached to him as being like this, you know, teen idol, teeny bopper, Justin Bieber kind of guy, which was understandable because, you know, he had a certain look, you know, singing there in his bathroom or bedroom or whatever. He had a certain look there on YouTube, and, you know, he was doing, I think he did Bieber songs, a couple of Bieber songs.
Yeah, just to kind of get his foot in the door.
You know, I mean, I understand that, but I don't think that was ever, like, his intent to want to be that. I think that he was always, like, a little more, like, of an artist than that. And so I remember hearing his single that he released. He's still working on his album, but... And I thought, well, damn, this is good. This is something that could be, it was kind of indie rock, you know? The reason that we're talking about him now and that he's the artist of the episode is because he got a spot playing Lollapalooza.
Dang.
Which happened last weekend. Mm-hmm. And, you
know. Where was it at?
Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, Lollapalooza was the huge festival. It was the traveling thing. Now it's like one weekend.
Oh, really?
It happens in Chicago.
They changed it down to one weekend.
Yeah, one weekend in Chicago. But it's huge. I mean, there were, you know, it's probably right up there. Yeah, it's right up there with Coachella or Outside Lands or any of those big festivals. Outkast played, some other. And then, you know, if you look on the roster and you like go down to the very, 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 but very, very bottom where, you know, you have to have a magnifying glass to look at the type, or if you get it on the computer, you could just like enlarge it. Ryan Beatty. He's like literally the last name.
Hey, my eye is going to see the last name before I see somebody just in the middle.
That's true. That's true. But no, I mean, I think he is doing a good job of like positioning himself, I think, and really being careful about the kind of like performer that he becomes. So.
Yeah, because that his early stuff that he broke out with, and I think it was Mike Oz that was putting those early videos of him doing Bieber songs and stuff, and that kind of like ingrained in my mind, like, oh, that's what he's about, and I didn't pay attention to it since then. So,
right, and I think he's a little more soulful than that, you know. Now it's like more of the Coldplay, you know, that kind of. I mean, it's still pop stuff, but I think, you know.
He's gonna get ladies regardless.
Well, yeah. Yeah. There it is. Anyway, I think he's definitely like one of three artists right now who are really, really like poised to become, you know, like mega, like when people go, oh, Fresno, blah blah blah's from there. I think Fashawn is there you know, already kind of doing it. Rudy Paris, who was on All The right. Voice, and he just recently got signed to record label, same record label as Eddie Money, and Chad Smith from the Chili Peppers has a band that's on that label. So, and then I think Ryan Beatty is, you know, we'll see. He still doesn't have the album out. I mean, he's been working on it for a long time, and so we'll see. But he definitely doing some right things if he's playing Coachella.
Be interesting. So, interesting. See if he does breaks out.
Yeah. I'm hoping. Then we can... And he also... I mean, he lives in L.A. now, and I would wonder if, you know, in his official bio, if he, you know, says he's from L.A.
Better say Fresno.
Or whatever, but I think he's from Clovis, actually.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's all the same.
For us.
Yeah.
Well, some more music news.
There's
stuff going on with ticketing and
oh, man.
Some classic rock artists and ticketing in town.
Yeah. This is one of those things. So I think a couple months ago when Bruno Mars came, I wrote this column about something that I had sort of been noticing, which is this presale tickets and how, like, Every show now has pre. You know, back in the day, remember when we wanted to go to a show? It was like we would go to Tower Records.
And stand in line.
Or like I camped out
overnight at Sound Arena box office.
Or or you would like wake up real or at whatever time, and you would get your phone, and your friend would get their phone at their house, and you know whatever, and everyone would be calling, and then you would have to be like, "Who has a credit card? Mom, I need to borrow the credit card."
There would be like four of us that would get in, calling Ticketmaster at the same time, and like whoever got in, I got in,
So. Those days are so done. I mean, they're just done. And so now there's all these pre-sales, right? And so, you know, if you're a MasterCard holder or American Express, they have a pre-sale. The venues all have pre-sales. The bands have pre-sales. So everyone has. So by the time the general tickets actually go on sale, you know, there's like none. When Justin Bieber came to Fresno, when tickets went on sale, you know, whatever the day tickets went on sale, there were like less than 2,000 tickets available. Like 80% of the tickets had already been accounted for, right?
Damn.
Yeah. So so there's that.
They only had 20% of the tickets left when they went on sale. Right.
So compounding that is the secondary market. So like all these people who are buying tickets and then putting them up on Craigslist or StubHub and the like. So what ends up happening is like if you want to get good seats, you know, you either have to pay, or you just have to be real lucky and you know, be one of those people who has like their computer and their cell phone and their you know, like everything at the same time. So the Fresno Fair is coming up. They have a pre-sale that's happening. Their actual tickets go on sale Monday, the 11th. But I get a call, we get this message from this lady who was trying to get tickets to the Beach Boys, and she's been going to concerts forever, trying to get tickets to the Beach Boys, logs on for the pre-sale, and we, and you know, she's like right there as soon as they go on sale, and the good seats, you know, so the first couple of rows already gone. Jeez. You know, and so she's upset about it, whatever, and really upset when she then logs on to StubHub and sees that the tickets, you know, that there's front row tickets to the Beach Boys on sale for like $165.
Already.
Yeah.
And she's like, how does this happen ahead of me?
Right. And you know, her point, and I understand her point, is that like the people who are buying those tickets and putting, I mean, they're just making a profit. I mean, they're just, which I guess is okay.
It's a secondary market that they're making profit.
You know, but yeah, it's not the bands making the profit. It's not even the venue.
It's not the venue. It's not the promoters. It's not the bands. It's just...
And this is what's happening. Non-entity. REO Speedwagon, front row tickets to REO Speedwagon, $190. And that's not... I mean, the way that StubHub works, obviously, that doesn't mean that they will get that price for it, but, I mean, that's what they're listed for now. What I thought was even crazier than that, the Eagles are coming to town, which I guess that's news also that we could break on the show, that the Eagles are coming to town.
Eagles.
And that's like a big deal, whether or not you like the Eagles or don't like the Eagles.
I like Creedence, just in case Lebowski listeners or Lebowski fans are listening.
So, Eagles are coming. They tickets haven't gone on sale yet. There is a pre-sale tickets are on sale. There are front row tickets available on StubHub listed at $2,500.
Jeez.
You know?
It's insane.
And this is, I mean, this is just, I think, the way of the world now, you know? And it's just weird. And especially weird for something like the fair where, you know, the tickets are...
It's not like a luxury box.
Right. Front row tickets for the Beach Boys at the fair are $25, and that is more than reasonable. I mean, that's a great ticket price, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So to see them marked up to $165, like, that kind of makes me, like, a little angry. Cause it's
especially
like,
when it's
on
a business that's just making money off of something else, somebody else's product.
Yeah.
It's like, and, you're not producing anything.
You're not doing anything.
All you're doing is just getting tickets.
You're taking advantage of the system.
You're a legal scalper. Somehow
and
it's legal.
It is legal, like, to scalp tickets. You can sell tickets for more than the face value as long as you're not directly outside the venue.
See, what the hell is that? It's like the guys that are outside the venue are like, hey, man, come here, right. $20. Like, that guy can get in trouble. But right. StubHub,
hey,
we got a website. It's fine. Yeah.
And what ends up happening a lot of times, and I know this because I've gotten calls from this, and it's happened to me, is like, you'll just do a Google search, Eagle tickets, and it'll bring up StubHub or it'll bring up one of these sites, and you'll look and you'll see $170 as a ticket price, and you're like, wow, I'm not going to pay that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're not really looking at the actual ticket price,
right.
You know, unless you're going to the fair's webpage or to Ticketmaster or whatever else. So it's confusing. It's confusing for people, especially for people who maybe aren't like savvy to what's right. happening, you know.
Just don't bother with the front row unless you get in on a
right,
presale.
Right. Yeah. And definitely, I mean, whatever presale you can get into, that's the way that's what you want to do, you know.
It's all presale.
So, but some of the things, you know, like Coachella, they put tickets to next year's festival on, like in May or whatever. I don't think they did it was a presale, but it was just like a limited number, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was open to anyone, I think. And, you know, they sold out within, I don't know, seconds, minutes,
right.
you know, whatever. And it was just people like.
But it's like everything at Coachella is just like. GA though, right? I mean,
yeah.
So it just kind of doesn't matter.
I think they have some VIP, but anyway, it's an interesting thing, and I wrote about it in my column this week. If you want to, you know,
check
if anyone wants to
bee.
Look at it on the Fresno Beehive. I just thought it was interesting. It's an interesting thing to see that sort of trend. The fair knows about it. You know, they set limits on the amount of tickets that you can get. They have. Ticketing software to keep like the bots from buying all the tickets mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. So anyway,
there you go.
Yeah.
Some media that we've missed.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
A couple of big reporters, TV reporters in town have moved on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jen Toasty and
Zara
Arboleta.
Zara Arboleta. Both
they
have moved on.
Moved out of media, or at least television broadcasting
right,
media.
Right.
Anyway,
Zara is working for Children's Hospital, Central California, and Jenny has gone on to Fresno State to do social media, I think, or something for them out there.
Yeah, something
so,
like that.
Which is really cool for both of those.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I think that
it's nice. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you, all you, buddy.
It's nice that. Somebody in local media can find other
right.
jobs in media-ish related jobs and stay in town.
Right, yeah.
Rather than just like, well, I got to move on to Lincoln, Nebraska now and
right.
work the afternoon news in Lincoln
right.
now and or something.
And that's always the bad thing, especially with in TV and radio. It's like that's what, I mean, you have to be ready at any moment to move on to someplace else. And most of the time it's you want to move on to someplace, like, you know, you start in Fresno
right.
and then you move on to Houston or where I
yeah,
don't know, whatever.
For somebody that's not most of those TV guys aren't from here.
Right, right.
They're just coming through
right.
town basically.
Unless but you know,
grew
for,
up here, you don't
for someone who ends up
on.
Here and wants to live here, it can become difficult, and especially mm-hmm. in a situation where you know you are at a station like 47, who has gone through some changes recently, and you know you can't be there anymore, and so you still want to be in Fresno. So what do?
Yeah,
you go into PR.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, I think it's great for Children's Hospital, you know, to have someone who understands how media works as your PR person. I mean, I think that's the best you could hope for,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think it's exciting for them.
Kudos to them.
It'll be interesting to see what happens on 47. I don't watch the local TV at all. So I have
I
no idea.
Now
I was,
and again.
You know, I only know that Jenny and Zara are on TV because I follow them, you know, on Twitter and things, right. Instagram, right? So, you know, yeah.
You're still gonna follow them?
Oh yeah. Now I'll follow.
You
them
know,
at
yeah,
the,
you're
at the hospital.
You're at the news source in Fresno. You don't need to be looking at other news sources.
I don't.
You're in the center of it,
right?
Bro.
They look to us.
Yeah.
And then they say, according to a story in the Bee this morning,
That's right.
Or they just say...
they don't reference... They don't, yeah. They don't even give you that. They're just like...
That's just the radio.
I hear around town.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a radio that just makes believe they got it from some other source.
Anyway, yeah, no, that's interesting. That was interesting news that broke, and like I said, we'll see what happens with 47, how they can work to replace the, you know.
And before we plug it,
okay,
we can't get through an episode without at least referencing the Fulton Mall.
Okay, I'm ready.
Now there's going to be security now. Now that the fires are still there's still a fire bug, dude.
Fires every yeah.
I guess I heard that they caught two guys, but then there's a third guy out there. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone keeps hitting the JCPenney building,
mm-hmm.
and they keep boarding it up, and then somebody still somehow gets in there and does it again. So. But yeah, they will now have security on the mall, which I think is great. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that sense, that presence, I think, of somebody there, I think.
Are they going to be like going all night or just like during...
That, I don't know.
Kind of normal hours?
I don't know. I would assume they would probably have some sort of, you know, evening patrol.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So...
That's good though.
But it's good, yeah. No, I think that's a good idea. Also, talking of the Fulton Mall, and because Hillary has been wanting me to mention this for I don't know however many episodes, Bert Rosa is working.
Just tell me, Hillary, company, and I'll put it in the notes, and then I can remind Josh.
Marketing company is doing the design work for the wayfinding signs.
Oh, cool!
There on the mall, so they're gonna have, you know, all new wayfinding signs. I'm assuming this is as the mall becomes a street. Again.
We'll see.
But
I'll believe it when I see it.
But that'll be really nice, and that's something that, you know, I've always said should happen regardless, you know, is we should...
Well, yeah, there always should be...
We should point more people to where this
The 99 corridor is going to have to be dealt with. I'm gonna stay on that.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get good signage on 99...
Like a big, like, neon barbecue sign with an arrow.
Hey.
But it would say, Fulton Mall.
Fulton Mall, Fulton Mall, Fulton Mall.
Something like that.
Somebody coming up from L.A., going up to Tahoe.
Right.
We want to give them a reason to stop in Fresno.
The world's only pedestrian mall. The last pedestrian mall. See it
while you can, kids. Step right up.
Step right up. This is what
fountains.
This is what non-working the world used to look like.
Thousands and thousands of dollars of artwork.
In the 1960s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there it is, Fulton Mall.
Fulton Mall, we got it in.
Yeah.
Bike lanes? Can we get bike lanes in? Have you been in a bike lane recently? Have you had biking incident?
No, but I mean, yes and no. So, I study Aikido at Aikido Fresno, and we have recently moved. Okay, so we were in the tower. Now we have a warehouse space that's on Ashland and 99, essentially.
Oh.
Okay. So, to get there, I go up Weber.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love using Weber.
Okay. What a more... There is not a more desolate, crappy-ass road.
Oh, hell yeah.
The bike lane is great.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
They have
dangerous
a bike lane.
Bike lane.
I know,
dude.
I know. They have a bike lane, but they have a bike lane the whole way.
Yeah.
The whole way there, and it's not like
it's nonstop.
There's no broken bottles. Mm. There's no. Yeah. I mean, it's fairly clean.
It's tight though. It's tight.
Oh yeah. And
everyone's going like 60 on Weber.
And it's desolate. I mean, there's, you know, you're right up next to the railroad tracks and the mm-hmm. freeway, and there's just warehouses and crap on the other side.
It's pretty.
So, I mean, it's not a good, fun ride at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder, like, why did they decide to put a bike lane there? Like, of all the places you could put a bike lane, I have ridden that, like, I don't know, a dozen times recently. I am the only one on that bike lane ever. And yet it's there. I just don't understand. And I'm sure that there is a reason that they have it there, because, you know, we had this Bike Master plan that I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that they figured out they needed it.
Because they didn't have to.
Because it probably connects someplace.
It was
someplace.
Easy, yeah. But also it was easy for them to do.
Well, yeah,
they didn't
have
to do anything but paint the lanes.
Right, that could be. Yeah, no road diets on that one. They just painted a lane. Here you go.
It is.
Anyway. So
what was once a shoulder
my,
is now a bike lane.
See, we did get bike lane in.
Yay.
I know, I had been thinking about that, because every time I ride it, I'm like, man, this is just like a, it's really just a bad, you know what we need? Now that we have bike lanes there, can we plant some trees? That'd be really
good
nice.
Luck.
Yeah.
Then you got to get irrigation in there. We don't have water.
Yeah. We can't start with that. If we start with the drought, it's all downhill. Let's just do it. Let's just plug it up then.
Cactus. All right, it's time to
plug it up. Plug it up. Plug it up. Plug it up.
Josh,
you want me to also?
It'll grow back. What?
It'll grow back.
What
is so my
this?
Band,
it'll grow back.
My band, it'll grow back. Punk band. We have some stuff happening. We are playing on the 21st of August. That is a Thursday, over at Audie's Olympic Tavern with
Audie's
guy. His name is Ando Ellers. He plays the accordion and screams
like
and
punk
stuff.
Rock accordion?
It's a punk rock accordion, and he's playing. There is a trend that's happening that I have noticed of punk rock bands becoming folky,
uh-huh.
folky guy, or vice versa, like folky dudes playing punk rock,
yeah.
And so we're playing with more and more of these types of bands.
So you're like, oh, this is the trend now. Sure,
right.
We'll open up
right.
for you.
So because I mean,
next
yeah,
year
we
it'll
played
be something else.
We played with we'll a lot of these bands, and it's really funny because it's like, where did all of these bands come from? And yet here we are, stupidly playing the same like stuff that we voted. Anyway. So, yeah, we have that coming up on the 21st, and that's all up on Facebook. You can find us. It'll go back. It'll go back with an
It'll
S on
backs.
Twitter if you want to follow. We have some new recordings and stuff, so we probably won't play them at that show. But we might, I think, at the Fuse Fest.
Debut something at the Fuse Fest?
Debut some new material and stuff. Kind of
September 26th and 27th.
There you go.
Downtown Fresno. FuseFest.com.
And then I'll plug my day job at the Fresno Bee and Fresno Beehive. So you can go on there, read my columns, read my blog post, Band Geek, if you want to know about the music happenings in town. Every week I post, well, most weeks I post, and I try to get everything that I can find, and there is a lot. So.
I noticed in searching for, trying to find some old file of Flooring the Famous that just may just somehow miraculously exist out there, I noticed that FresnoFamous.com goes to your stuff now.
Oh yeah,
which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
At least it goes to your stuff. Like,
yeah,
all your music stuff.
They pull me in for that.
So
yeah,
at least the .com is still
it's
existing.
It's still there. It's still there. And you know who knows? I mean, it could be a situation where in a year, a couple years, you know, they'll figure out a way to revamp it and bring it back. So I think that's why they're trying
but
to
it's still,
keep
still
it.
Out there.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the social media part of it is huge still. I mean, the Twitter still gets new followers all the time. I'm like, there's nothing been posted there for, you know, however many years.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there it is. And Mike, you're going to plug?
As always, the network.
The
Dorktown
network. Okay. Okay.
Dorktown Podcast with producer Becky, who's silently in the studio.
Yeah.
In this episode.
Yeah.
And Bells. And then,
yeah.
And then the Perfect Pour.
Perfect Pour.
The Brothers Napolitano.
Yeah.
Talking about craft beer. And the Harrison Ford Podcast. Get off my podcast.
How's that going?
We just did the Return of the Jedi episode.
Okay. Okay. And?
So we're next. Next is Temple of Doom. We're just chronologically going through Harrison's career.
Running through him. I'm going to be interested to when you get to Expendables 3.
it'll be next year sometime.
To hear what you have
I don't
to
think
say.
We're going
to
devote a whole episode to Expendables
no?
3.
No? Okay.
But it'll get mentioned at least.
Cameos. Maybe you do an episode that's just all the cameos.
He's not a big cameo guy, so.
Which makes
like
it weird that
doing.
He would be in. So yeah. I saw the picture for Expendables 3.
Everyone looking tough.
Kelsey Grammer is also.
I don't understand why Kelsey Grammer is in that.
Who knows?
I thought it was supposed to be all action people. And then Kelsey Grammer was there. I guess he is Beast in the X-Men.
Oh, there you go. There you go. There you go. Okay. What else? Just that's it. That's not a lot for you to plug, man.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Fuse Fest.
Oh, Fuse Fest.
.com.
That's coming up.
Local music festival.
That's
going
to be real great. We'll have to do a Fuse specific episode.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely
going to
do a Fuse episode here once we get the lineup announced.
Yeah, we'll just do all music, that one.
Lineup announcement in a few weeks.
All right.
Get ready.
Well, I guess that's it for us. It feels like we talked about a lot of stuff.
Feels like it.
Going
with Pod on Twitter.
Going with Pod on Twitter.
If you want to get a hold of us through Twitter, or you can email me, thefresnan@gmail.com.
And we're on Stitcher.
Stitcher and
iTunes.
You can review us on
iTunes. Have we got any reviews?
I haven't looked recently.
Okay.
But we have.
I'd like to see.
I mean, there's a couple up there.
Well, I've heard good stuff recently, people saying that they listen and, you know.
Tell, hey, word of mouth still the best way to promote anything, so.
Anything.
Tell anything, dude. If you're a hooker, word of mouth is pretty damn good.
That is true. If you're a hooker, that's probably the best way.
Yep.
All right, well, then that's it for us. We will be back and hopefully have you listening. In the meantime, man, this is what I need to have, like a little catchy, like a stay classy Fresno.
Yeah.
I don't like that
somebody
one.
Somebody else has that.
I don't know. I'll just count it down. 5, 4, 3, 2.